Now let's go right into talking about the financial industry overhaul bill. Are we stalled? Are we going ahead? What's going
on? I think we're going to be able to go ahead right now. We've been stalled the last two votes. The Republicans have held together. They don't even want this thing debated. I think it's about time that we had a bill that holds Wall Street accountable and make sure that this doesn't happen again and provides protections for Minnesota consumers on financial products like credit cards and home loans and financial retirement accounts and things like that and student loans, and empowers people by giving them the full credit and terms right out front. And so this is going to happen, and it's just a matter of time. But right now, we've been having a little trouble getting Republicans even to debate this.
It seems like bailout, financial bailout, is the big holdup. Is there a bailout for banks and too big to fail?
No, there's no bailout at all. In fact, there's no taxpayer-funded bailout. Let me explain why. First of all, nothing's taxpayer-funded. There's a $50 billion pot of money that the banks are all going to be paying into in case one of them fails, and so that we have enough money there to wind down a bank. In other words, to let it pay for its own funeral, to keep the lights on while it goes away, and the losers in that will be their shareholders and not the taxpayers. And so there are no taxpayer-funded bailouts, quite the opposite. This is to prevent that from happening ever again.
Did the testimony on the Hill with the corporate folks at Goldman Sachs, is that helping or hurting this whole cause?
I think it's helping because it just shows you the complete lack of oversight, the complete conflicts of interest that have to be, if they're not illegal, that's a scandal in and of itself. Sometimes the biggest scandals are what isn't illegal. And we have to take out a lot of these conflicts of interest. I'll give you a perfect example that I believe will be in the final package, which is the rating agencies, Standard & Poor's and Moody's, would give AAA ratings to these subprime mortgage-backed securities. And 93% of those that they gave AAA ratings to are now junk. And the reason they were giving AAA ratings is that they were hired by the financial entities that were putting these bonds out. And Moody's and Standard & Poor's knew that if they didn't give them a AAA, they'd lose the business. So we have to end that. There's a lot of things like that that are in this bill that'll be ended so that we make sure that people are protected. The purpose of Wall Street was to allocate capital in the most efficient way possible to create businesses that created jobs, that created prosperity. And instead, what it became were bets upon bets upon bets upon bets. And that's what we're going to be ending.
Well, let's switch. Yesterday, you sort of basically told the folks at Facebook to clean up their act, especially with regards to privacy.
What happened was there that Facebook, they changed policy midstream. They suddenly started sharing people's personal information, and there's a lot of personal information on Facebook. And they did it without telling people, and they did it so that you had to opt out instead of opting in. And the difference between that is it put the burden on you. The worst part about it is changing it midstream. If you're joining a social network like this, and you know from the beginning that, okay, my information is going to be shared. One, you're going to put your information up differently, probably. And the other is that you know it, and it's your choice. Your listeners can go to franken.senate.gov, and if they're on Facebook and don't want their personal information shared, they can learn how to opt out.
You're leading the move toward better funding for Indian education. Where do we stand on it? We've talked about this in the past, so where
right.
are we right now with funding Indian education, particularly building projects?
Yeah, well, it's Indian construction. You know, we've been trying to get the lists from the Bureau of Indian Affairs and from the Bureau of Indian Education, lists of schools that need either to be rebuilt entirely or need to be fixed. We've been having trouble even getting those. And finally, we got a list from, I think it was 2005, of 14 schools that existed then, and they haven't been rebuilt. Two of them are in Minnesota, one on White Earth and one in Leech Lake. And there's simply not enough money there to do more than one or two a year. There's a list of 14, and there, believe me, there's a backlog of many, many schools. And these schools that exist now that need to either be fixed or completely rebuilt are unpleasant, dangerous places to learn, and kids don't learn in that atmosphere. And the amount of money actually got cut this year. There was some money through the stimulus package that went through Indian school construction, but I and Betty McCollum and a number of folks are fighting to get some back to this exact same funding level that we had last year.
In your opinion, is this more of a Bureau of Indian Affairs mismanagement situation, or just not the Congress stepping up to appropriations plate?
Well, I think it's both, and you know, there I have some colleagues that are reticent to provide more money to Bureau of Indian Affairs or the Bureau of Indian Education because of what they perceive as mismanagement. I'm going to be doing probably a field hearing, I think, on White Earth Reservation on school construction. And I think we do have to hold the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Bureau of Indian Education responsible. I want to be able to justify spending more money on something that and make sure the money is used correctly. So that's a very good question you asked, and that's gets very much to the crux of it.
Thank you very much. We've been speaking with U.S. Senator Al Franken. We will talk to you again soon, I hope.